you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Good morning. I hope everyone had a great weekend. I got some neat stuff done over the weekend. And, you know, as I said on Friday, I wished my daughter and my mother both happy birthdays. As it turns out, we surprised my mom and flew her out here yesterday. So she's at the house hanging out. She's going to be here for a few days. So looking forward to that. Just a little tidbit of information. 3 o'clock Central Time, 1 o'clock Pacific, is the Dave Champion Show right here on RBN. Dave has been taking Mondays off to finish a book that he's been writing. And I've had the opportunity to chat with him a little bit about some of the things he's putting in. It's going to be a great book. With that being said, he is taking today off as well. I will be sitting in for Dave on the Dave Champion Show today at 3 p.m., and we're going to be talking about the lack of any real representation when it comes to conservative-minded people in the U.S. and a plan to change it. So tune in at 3 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Pacific to the Dave Champion Show, and we'll get on that. As for firearms, there's a number of things that have come out about ridiculous ideas for laws. And here's the thing that really tends to gripe my nerves. That is this. You get legislators that wish to impose some sort of penalty on those who wish to exercise their Second Amendment right. Has nothing to do with stopping or preventing crime. All it is to harass and berate those who wish to exercise their Second Amendment rights to the point where you'll actually be applying for permits and paying money to exercise a right. So we're going to go over a couple of these things. Now, these legislators know that this is illegal. It is not constitutional. However, the process to getting it changed is always very long and drawn out. They pass a law, someone files a lawsuit, and then it can go anywhere from an immediate decision, which might take a couple of months, to a decade or more before it finally gets to the highest of courts. And this is, in this case, it would be the Supreme Court. With a new Supreme Court justice going to be appointed by President Obama coming up soon for the session that begins in October, we need to be very careful on how things go, because the really anti-gun legislative crowd can pass all kinds of garbage. And if it's presented to a very liberal court, quite often it might not stand a very good chance of actually being overturned under, you know, kind of the guise of righteousness and constitutionality. We see that on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on a regular basis, as left-wing as that court is. We don't want to have that happen on the Supreme Court. Anyhow, what's happening is these people in the legislative areas around the country, be it on Capitol Hill or at the state level, pass these very unconstitutional and unenforceable, I shouldn't say unenforceable, but judicially irresponsible laws, legislative irresponsible laws, to infringe on our rights. We're going to talk about a specific example of that when we return from the break. Stick with us.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, out of the very leftist state of Illinois, now keep in mind there's only two states in the entire union which do not allow for concealed carry in any form whatsoever. There's several states which, in effect, they have laws on the books, but in effect, through the application of the laws, there's hardly anybody ever carrying concealed. Hawaii is a perfect example of that. They have a concealed carry law on the books. However, you just don't ever get any of these county sheriffs to allow anyone to carry concealed. No matter what your excuses, they just don't allow it, unless it's maybe a retired judge or someone that they owe a favor to. It just doesn't happen. The law is not applied properly there. California is the same way. However, it's absolute hit or miss, depending on what county you live in, as to whether or not they'll allow people to carry concealed. Illinois and Wisconsin are the only two states in the entire union that don't have any provision for carrying concealed on the state books at all. Now, there was, I believe earlier this session, there was a total of 54 or 55 anti-gun measures, pieces of legislation that had been written in the state legislature of Illinois between their state house and their state senate. So here's one from a state representative in the state house by the name of Ken Duncan. Here's a little story. With his Chicago and Springfield offices under a barrage of angry and hateful, was the quote, angry and hateful, phone calls from across the nation, according to state representative Ken Duncan, he continues to press for passage of legislation to require mandatory firearm liability insurance. Now tell me how this stops crime. Tell me. It doesn't. Duncan insists his legislation is designed to protect the victims of willful and neglect and negligent acts involving guns, but right-wing and pro-gun critics have made him the target of a nationwide campaign to get him to back down. Here's a quote. I've been getting a lot of calls at my office, and let's say it would be a stretch to call them conservative criticism, Duncan said. It is not about pushing or punishing gun owners. It's about making sure that someone is there to clean up the mess when the smoke clears. Duncan's House Bill 687 would require individuals who own a firearm to have a firearms owner's identification card to maintain a liability insurance policy of at least $1 million. First of all, now that's the story. First of all, to require a gun owner's identification card to actually go get an approval to exercise a right is completely unconstitutional. They're getting away with it in Illinois. Until that law is challenged and the proper, information presented before the court in the proper format to show, look, you cannot infringe on a right. This is direct infringement on a right. You have to go apply for a card in order to exercise a right. Direct infringement on rights, and the government does not have the power to do that. However, they've gotten away with it here. Yet again, it's one of these things where the legislative branch has passed a law that would really just completely screw with your rights in an effort to make you mother may I them and them collect more revenue, even though it's unconstitutional. Until a group challenges that in court, you're not really going to get anywhere with it. So there's already an infringement there. Then, to tell you, if you choose to exercise your right, guaranteed by the Second Amendment of the Constitution, you're going to have to get a $1 million liability insurance policy on your dime. On your dime. That's what it's going to have to be, on your dime. You will be mandated to carry an insurance policy. Okay, driving is a privilege, all right? Driving is not a right. To travel and move peaceably is a right. To do it in a car, as they put it out there, there's a little bit of a debate whether or not it's a right or privilege. A right to do whatever the heck you want when it goes to traveling around, as long as it doesn't impede on someone else. However, there's a difference between rights and privileges. Privileges, you can do, like if you're going to own a car and have it registered on the road. That's a bit of a privilege. Actually, driving the car is a different story. But to own a car, drive it on the road, is a bit of a privilege. They can require you to have insurance on that vehicle, which within a certain level. Owning a gun is a right. So, Mr. Duncan, I'm not even sure I want to say Mr. I just kind of want to call him, you know, Mr. Un-American Duncan. To require someone to pay to exercise a right is inconceivable to me. Inconceivable. Would be so if you're going to exercise your right to practice a religion, we're going to charge you a fee for that. If you're going to exercise your right to free speech, we're going to charge you. Okay, you're going to have a free speech liability policy, because if you say something which is slanderous and someone sues you, you're going to need to pay them. So you need to have a slander liability policy if you choose to exercise your freedom of speech. How about exercising this, Mr. Duncan? You are an anti-American, leftist, socialist, Marxist scumbag of the likes that have no business representing anyone in America, because you would be hard-pressed to find any district anywhere in the nation which is so highly concentrated with anti-Americanism that your personal beliefs creeping in would never represent the actual constituency in which put you in office. If you believe there's any constituency that's compacted enough with enough anti-gun, anti-rights people to represent this sort of legislation, you're going to have to look long and hard to find it. Because I guarantee you, it's not going to be in your district. If you were to poll every voter in your district and ask them if they believe this is something that should be on the books, whether it's constitutional or not is now out of the books when it comes to this discussion, you'll be hard-pressed to ever find that you have more than 50% of your constituents saying, yes, we should do that. Unless, of course, you stand up there and lie, and you stand up there and you do your best to commit fraud in the way of trying to get people to believe your side of the story with false information and mistruths and outright lies. So you're doing a personal agenda here, Mr. Duncan. And within that personal agenda, you are absolutely, completely showing un-American colors, because you are yet again supporting the restriction of rights. And you, as a representative within now the state government, do not have the power to do that. And if you push this through, and other anti-Americans within that same legislative body that you belong vote to put this in, you are all in violation of constitutional rights. You have all held up your hand and sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Illinois. Something tells me you are unfamiliar with both documents. Both documents. If you're to hold up your hand and swear to uphold that, you should be familiar with it. And you should understand the ramifications if you do not. The ramification here is you get booted out of office. The ramification should be that you can have charges pressed on you for violation of civil rights. If you go so far as to push this through, you would be violating the rights of everyone within the state of Illinois that can legally own and possess a firearm. If that happens, Mr. Duncan, it is my hope, and it would be my behest to push towards the people in Illinois who do not believe in this legislation to actually serve a citizen's arrest on you for violation of citizens' rights for pushing through such a thing. If you think you can get away with violating the rights of American citizens, regardless of what position of authority you believe you hold, you must realize that you in your position have certain powers within your representation. Those powers do not include infringing on any rights whatsoever. This is a violation of rights. You're essentially causing everyone who decides to exercise their Second Amendment right to hold an insurance policy in case they, through willful negligence or just pure negligence, create some sort of victim at the hand of a gun that they own. And then that insurance would cover that. You have got to be kidding me. Everyone has to be treated the same way. Is that it? How about this? How about realizing that enforcing the laws that are on the books prevent people who would otherwise be thought to commit some form of crime with a gun from getting a gun, unless someone just simply snaps? Then, no matter what insurance policies you've got, that's not going to stop them. That's not going to do any better. What's going to stop them is armed citizens that would otherwise be the intended victims of this bad guy. Then we don't need any insurance, because the honest, law-abiding, armed American citizens that pulled their guns out in defense of themselves and other innocent people around them from an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury at the hands of a crazed person have stopped it. Stopped the attack. You need to stop your attack. Get back on track with the ideals of the American citizens. This is Bill Carnes. I'll be back after the break.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, so here's a new piece that comes out of an anti-gun writer. Okay, listen to this. This I forget what anti-gun website I got this off of. When I do research for the show, folks, what I do is I look all over the internet. I look at some of the pro-gun sites, independent sites, and I also look at anti-gun sites just to see, you know, what the enemy is doing. Just kind of a Sun Tzu sort of a thing, like the art of war. You got to know what your enemy's up to as well. So here's an article. State legislators are playing with fire. There's a new and extremely dangerous crop of gun bills springing up around the country. This bill is specifically designed to go after the federal authority to regulate guns. Now, you have to listen to the language in this. The goal is to get the new law into the courts and ultimately before the Supreme Court to challenge the federal authority to regulate guns through interstate commerce laws. These legislators, egged on by gun extremists and anti-federal government devotees, are playing with fire. Okay, listen to this. Here's how it works. Montana has just passed legislation that says gun manufacturers in Montana and sold guns manufactured in Montana and sold to people who intend to keep these guns in Montana are exempt from federal gun laws and regulations. This means licensed gun dealers do not need to run background checks on people buying these specially stamped made in Montana guns. And because Montana has very few state laws pertaining to gun possession, many of these exempt from owning guns under federal law would be free and clear to own guns under this new state law. This includes people who have been convicted of domestic violence offenses, those currently subject to a restraining order, and children as young as age of 14. And listen to this. And of course, because state borders are open and unguarded, there's little to stop people from taking these made-in-Montana guns to other states. Wow, talk about creating a system ripe for abuse. But Montana is not the only state looking to make it legal for dangerous people and children to buy guns. As though that was the intent. As though that were the intent of the law. Let me read it again. But Montana is not the only state looking to make it legal for dangerous people and children to buy guns. Similar legislation has been introduced in Alaska, Texas, Colorado, and Tennessee. This week, a Texas House committee held hearings on a bill that would not only exempt Texas-made firearms, gun accessories, and ammunition sold within the state I lost my place, within the state from federal gun regulations, but would also add the provision that Texas Attorney General's Office defend any Texans who are prosecuted by the federal government because of this law. Putting aside the fact that exempt guns from federal regulations is an incredibly bad and recklessly dangerous idea. Keep that in mind. This person says putting aside the fact. Now, in order to have a fact, you must have research. This is totally an opinion. Listen to this again. Putting aside the fact, which is actually an opinion, that exempting guns from federal regulation is an incredibly bad and recklessly dangerous idea. Now, how could that be considered a fact without having any history on this? These bills fly in the face of everything this country stands for. I completely disagree. Now, this writer's calling it a fact. They are meant to undermine our federal system of government. If states can exempt themselves from federal gun laws, what else can they opt out of? Let's hope the courts act quickly and decisively to shut down this clearly unconstitutional law. Shame on legislators for supporting these bills that are not only dangerous but blatantly anti-American. This writer is as anti-American as they can understand. Obviously, yet again, someone who knows absolutely nothing about the Constitution of the United States, the framers of the Constitution, the signers and drafters of the Declaration of Independence, or anything that these founding fathers in the original intent intended on. This author of this horrible story, just blatantly, ridiculously stupid story, knows nothing about the formation of this country. The states are independent states. They are represented by the federal government, and the federal government's job is to protect the liberties of American citizens. It's the state's job to manage the people within the state. Somewhere you missed that. In school, whoever this writer is, there was no name. Imagine that. Nobody. You can write all sorts of conservative, pro-American pieces, and you'll see people put their names on there. You see anti-American pieces, anti-rights, anti-gun pieces, and oftentimes you will not see the author apply their name to it. Talk about weasels, an absolute weasel. Putting aside the fact that exempting guns from federal regulation is incredibly bad and recklessly dangerous idea, these bills fly in the face of everything this country stands for. That is absolutely untrue. The country stands for individual rights. And the states are now guaranteeing it because the federal government has been trying to staunch rights. So now they're guaranteeing them within the state. Whoever this author is so far off base, it's ridiculous. You don't need to necessarily agree with the law. But to say that these are facts when in fact they're opinions, and then to say that it flies in front of what the country stands for and that the laws are unconstitutional, you have shown your pure ignorance and have absolutely no idea what you're talking about and put it for the rest of the world to read and realize how ridiculous you truly are. You pathetic scumbag that won't even put your name on the article. There's your caffeine injection. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443. Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
And that's the way I feel. We need to get things done, all right? From the last story All I have to say to that author...
Shut your blathering pie hole.
Okay? You got to shut your blathering pie hole. Because you have no idea what it is you're talking about. All right? Coming out of the great state of Texas, a bill by State Representative Leo Berman exempting Texas-made firearms, gun accessories, and ammunition sold within the state from federal regulation and law, including registration, was heard in a House committee a week ago today. The bill also provides for the Texas Attorney General's office to defend Texans who run afoul with the federal government because of this law. This is a state's right measure. And this particular guy, Berman, and Tyler, another Republican, they have pushed several of these state right measures with this legislative session within Texas. And he said this bill would affect more than 300 manufacturers in the state. That's manufacturers of ammunition, firearms, accessories. Under the 9th and 10th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, states have responsibility for regulating interstate commerce, Berman said. The federal government has no role. Worse, he said, the federal government would like to increase regulations. Here's a quote. With the appointment of Eric Holder as U.S. Attorney General, we have the most anti-Second Amendment Attorney General in the history of the nation, Berman said. What we're saying with this is that there are some guns not subject to federal regulation. We have guns and gun accessories and ammunition here that are not subject to their regulation. Berman said the bill has the support of the NRA and the Texas State Rifle Association. And, let's see, contacted this last Monday, the Texas State Rifle Association, Alice Tripp, did not comment. Berman said his bill could also spark economic development. Here's a quote. This gun bill would invite new industry into Texas that would take advantage of the intrastate commerce. We're talking about gun manufacturers, gun accessory manufacturers, and ammunition reloaders. Montana passed a similar bill earlier this month, which was actually April, and a court challenge is expected when the law goes into effect in October. It's a gun bill, but it's another way of demonstrating the sovereignty of the state of Montana, said Montana Governor Brian Schweitzer, a Democrat. Opponents warned the law could result in gun purchases with no criminal background check. Tyler, attorney and gun rights advocate Sean Healy, said Berman's effort is commendable. Quote, I applaud Leo's effort to put the federal government in its place, Healy said. Americans have been conditioned for decades to accept Washington's meddling in their lives. We have grown complacent, and we accept most new restrictions without batting an eye. As a result, Washington has gotten used to doing whatever it wants. End quote. That applies to sweeping federal regulations and firearms, he added. I think Leo was right about the Constitution. He said, the founders intended for the federal government to have the powers specifically given to it in the Constitution and the states and the people to keep the power to do everything else. Still, the bill would end up putting the state on a collision course with the federal courts. That's okay. The only problem I see with Leo's bill is the provision requiring the state to pay for its citizens to fight the federal government, Healy said. That could cost the taxpayers a lot of money fighting a losing battle. Berman's bill was left pending in committee as is usual following committee hearings. It would be voted on as soon as next week, being this week. On this last Wednesday, another House committee will hear it would have gone in front to hear a bill by Berman that would place an 8% surcharge on all money wired by illegal immigrants to Mexico and Central and South America. Berman said the bill would generate $480 million annually. The revenue would be earmarked for hospitals, which he says bear the burden of providing health care for uninsured illegal immigrants and for border security. That's rather interesting. Okay, that's for something to talk about on the Dave Champion Show when it comes to that. That's actually rather interesting. So there we go. We have state legislators, and in the case of in Montana, the governor, the Democratic governor who signed it in law, agrees. So a lot of this goes beyond party affiliation and goes to actually understanding and agreeing with the Constitution of the United States. And the beauty of the Constitution is you don't need to agree with it. All you need to do is realize it's the basis for all law. Agree with it or not, that's the way it is. And we as Americans get the opportunity to enjoy that. We absolutely get to enjoy that. So, for you, Representative Berman, take a bow. Nicely done. Very nicely done. So, I want to address something that I kind of touched on in the last segment, where you have a huge body of people within the United States that at different points in time, they need to hold up their right hand and swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and if you're at a state level, as well as the Constitution of the state in which you're going to be working. Now, that would be for law enforcement. It would be for folks taking an active role in politics, be it an elected official or an appointed position within that realm, from town council, city council, county commission, up to state representatives. You need to hold up your hand, and law enforcement within a state, you need to hold up your hand, swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state you're in. On a federal level, be it law enforcement or politicians, you, as part of your oath, hold up your hand and swear to defend the Constitution of the United States. Here's the interesting thing. The people who are holding up their hand and swearing to this oftentimes have never read any of these documents and certainly do not understand them. When you go into military basic training, boot camp as it were, when you're done, you hold up your hand and you swear an oath. When you're an officer candidate school and you become an officer within the military, you do the same thing. And you swear to protect the country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. When you're a law enforcement officer, you certainly swear to uphold the Constitution. Now, when I was in the police academy, we never once covered even a single line of the Constitution of the United States. Not once. In 16 weeks did we ever touch the Constitution. Nor did we touch the Constitution of the state of Nevada. However, when we were sworn in and given our badges and made official law enforcement officers, we had to raise our right hand in the air and swear to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Nevada, many of which in that class never read either document, never had any idea. But yet they just took an oath. So how is it that within this oath that's taken, there are certain protections allowed to government entities, that would be people who work for the government, be it law enforcement or politicians or what have you, that actually have to swear to uphold these documents, but yet when they violate it, they have some light form of protection? Well, constitutional scholars and attorneys would tend to disagree with that entire issue, because if you raise your hand and you swear to uphold it, you then give up any argument of ignorance that you may have had. They would say, you know, I don't have to uphold it because I don't really understand it, or I am a long arm of the government. You know, you held up your hand and swore to uphold these things. It's incumbent upon you to do that, which makes you completely liable for violating someone's constitutional rights under the state or the federal government. And keep in mind, if you are a federal agent, and let's say that you're assigned to the state of California, you have to be able to uphold the rights of the people in California. If you're a federal agent in Ohio, or Idaho, or Florida, or Michigan, or any other state in the U.S., whether you held up your hand and took an oath to uphold that, the Constitution of that state or not, you're still bound by law to have to do it because you are within that state. You are exercising federal law within a sovereign state. So federal law enforcement officers need to understand this. If you're Border Patrol, you need to uphold the laws of the federal government. I'm sorry, the Constitution of the federal government and the Constitution of the state in which you're guarding the border, be it one of the southern states bordering Mexico or the northern states bordering Canada. It is incumbent upon you to do that. If not, you are liable for that. It doesn't suit me any better with the idea that the entity in which you're being trained would be the one teaching this constitutional law or this or the understanding of the Constitution, because that's easy enough for them to sway it within the way they want you to operate. So to have an independent constitutional organization to teach the people that have to swear this oath before they swear the oath and that they understand it and in some way, shape, or form test it so that they do understand it before they can say, yeah, I swear to uphold it, would be the prudent thing. A law enforcement agency that has their own academy should not be the ones teaching constitutional law, because they're in the executive branch. They're the ones who are actually the ones who are supposed to be enforcing laws passed by the legislative branch. It's truly the judicial branch or an independent organization guided by the judicial branch for the understanding of the Constitution. And then it would be incumbent upon them to go out and teach these classes. If people get elected to public office, they should have to go through this and understand the Constitution of the United States, and if it's within a state or down to a municipality or township, county government, whatever it is, the state constitution as well. Anything other than that is simply irresponsible government. And guess what we've got, folks? We have irresponsible government throughout the country. Now, it's not rampant to the point where every sector of every little township or city or county or state government is completely out of whack. But it's rampant enough that it is by far the majority of small governments up into the federal government. It would be interesting to poll the 534, since the 35th one hasn't been appointed yet, members of Congress up on the Hill, both houses, and find out how many of them have actually read the Constitution of the United States. How many actually understand it? Now, I forget who it was. One of the presidents back in the 50s or 60s would read the entire Constitution of the United States every night before he went to bed. Now, keep in mind, that's an enforcement issue, not a legislative issue. If the legislators did that, or had a reading of the entire Constitution everyone needed to be present for, if nothing else, on a weekly basis, once a week, at the beginning of a session of the entire House or the entire Senate, or within their subcommittees, at some point, once a week, every representative on Capitol Hill, everybody in the House of Representatives, every senator, had to sit through and participate in the reading of the entire Constitution of the United States, we would probably alleviate a number of issues that are there. It would basically be crime control at the level at Capitol Hill, because it would prevent them from passing illegal laws, at least to a point. Now, again, I'm going to recap on a story last week out of the state of New York, where there's a piece of legislation being introduced. If you use a gun to commit a crime, that the crime itself would prevent you upon conviction of owning a gun in the future, you would be on a registered firearm offenders list on the state books. Now, that's not any crime. And that's not any crime that would prevent you from having a gun. If you use a gun to commit a crime that would prevent you from having a gun in the future, you would be on this list. Now, that's crime control. That's not gun control. That's going after the criminals. If you go so far as to do a dastardly deed and use a gun to do it, which would then prevent you from owning a gun, you should be on a list. I like that idea. That's crime control. That's not going after legitimate legal gun owners. And it's not going after some statute of sorts. Like, okay, well, Yeah, you had a magazine in the gun and a round in the chamber, where in this area we say you're not supposed to have one in the chamber. That wouldn't put you on the list and prevent you from having guns. It'd be a felony convicted with a committed with a gun. Or domestic violence committed with a gun. Where they actually pressed the trigger or not. It was there, you know, holding it on an X or a current or something. I like that idea. That sounds reasonable to me. All right? And it's not gun control, it's crime control. All right? If you do the same thing with a knife and you could be prevented from owning a knife, it would be good too. However, we don't have those sorts of laws in this country. We're not that draconian yet. Back on Capitol Hill. There's so many laws that are passed that are unconstitutional, it is ridiculous. If there was a weekly reading and understanding and cooperative effort which was interactive with all of the members of both houses of Congress up on the Hill, that would probably alleviate by others reminding them, hey, you know what? We read the Constitution on a regular basis. We're very familiar with it. This does not fall within that realm. Shelf it, like H.R. 45. Like when they wanted to tax 90% of all of the bonuses given to the AGI executives. Unconstitutional. Didn't like it. It sucks. There might be other ways to go about it, but passing that law would have been unconstitutional. So, what do you think about that? Stick around through the break. We're going to show up a little bit on something that's happening in the state of California with a lawsuit filed to challenge some anti-gun laws when we return from the break. This is Bill Carnes. Looking forward. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Gun control. Loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, in California, they passed a law a few years back that does this. If you are a gun manufacturer and you want to sell a handgun in the state of California, what you've got to do is you've got to submit, I believe it's 3 samples of that handgun to the state, to whatever agency it is. And what they do is they do this kind of a drop test or kind of an abuse test on the gun to make sure it passes whatever stringent requirements that the state of California puts on it. Now, there's a couple of issues with this. First of all, there are some customized gun makers, Wilson Combat, certainly Nighthawk Customs. These are people that build all types of different guns. You can look at all the options, say, these are all the options I want. It's like ordering a pizza with a whole bunch of toppings, right? This is a pizza I want. This is the gun I want. For them to build every single combination of those guns and submit them to the state of California is incredibly expensive for these manufacturers, and it's not going to happen. In addition to that, if the color changes as well. Let's say that somebody wants a specific gun built by Nighthawk Customs, and they have, a diamond black finish on the slide and kind of a gray satin finish on the frame. If someone else, and that gets submitted to California, 3 of those get submitted to California. Somebody else wants it, but they want, say, in the frame now to be kind of an OD green, like an olive drab green with the diamond black slide. Well, now that gun wouldn't be legal unless Nighthawk built 3 of those and sent them to California. And California keeps all these guns. So you have to send all these guns and all their configurations in there. All right? Then if they fail to pay the continued user fee to be able to sell those guns, they now come off of the approved list because someone didn't pay a fee. So the CalGuns Federation and 4 California residents filed a lawsuit last week challenging that law in the state and a regulatory scheme that arbitrarily bans handguns based on a roster of certified handguns approved by the state. The case parallels a similar case filed in Washington, D.C., which is Hansen versus D.C., which follows the same law in California. California uses this list despite a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court last summer that protects handguns that ordinary people traditionally use for self-defense, and a recent ruling by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that the Second Amendment applies to state and local governments. The California scheme would eventually ban the purchase of almost all new handguns. Okay? interesting stuff, is it not? So, continuing. Attorney Alan Gura, representing the plaintiff in the case, noted that California tells Ivan Pena that his right to have an his rights have an expiration date based on a payment of a government fee. Americans are not limited to a government list of approved books or approved religions, he said. A handgun protected by the Second Amendment does not need to appear on any government-approved list and cannot be banned because of a manufacturer who does not pay a special annual fee. How about that? Crazy stuff. Send me your thoughts. Bill at 2aradio.com. Check us out. After about 20 or 30 minutes after each show, I have the archives posted there. Thank you very much for spending your time.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.